Great singing today. It's been good to be here today. My wife and I would like to wish a Merry Christmas to you and each of your families. And I'm so thankful to God for my Grove family and for this opportunity to celebrate Christmas together with you. So peace, love, hope, and joy to each of you as you celebrate Christmas. At this time, I'd like to invite Dan Holmquist to come to the front. And the orchestra can be dismissed. Thank you for your beautiful playing today. I'd also like to invite all the kids, ages about 4 to 12. There's not going to be any age police here, so you can be a little flexible with that. But I'd like to have the kids come up here and have a seat right up here in the front. And I don't want to embarrass any kids or make them come, but I will say this. If you do come, I have a little something for you at the end of the service. So little incentive to come. So if you'd come right on up here, I'm going to move this back. If I can. Yep, just come right on up, have a seat. And now a lot of these kids know Dan as Salty the Singing Songbook from our musical. And I know Dan as Dad. But today he's Papa Dan. And he's going to read the Christmas story straight out of the Bible, Luke chapter 2. And kids, I really hope you'll listen close because this is the Christmas story. This is what Christmas is all about.
There was a man named Luke who lived many years ago, and he lived at the time of Jesus. And he saw some of the things that Jesus did. And he also was a very learned man, a man of high education. And he liked to study history. Do you like history? Yeah, sure. But he studied it. He studied it very diligently. And he learned a lot of things about what Jesus did. But most of all, he was led by God's Holy Spirit to record some of the things that Jesus did, many of the things that Jesus did. I'd like to read just a little bit of what he recorded. It came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. The census first took place when Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You'll find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts proclaiming God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." Isn't that exciting?
Thank you, Papa. You guys can wait right up here, and I've got some very important things to share with you guys, and those guys can listen in too if they'd like to, but I want to talk to you for a little bit if that's okay. Your grandpa? Oh, okay. You can if you want to. You can go back there. But I just want to say that we appreciate you guys very much. Can you let them through, Dan? Um, I'm really thankful for you guys. I was thinking, you know, it'd be a pretty boring place around here at Grove if it weren't for the kids. And so we're all really thankful for you guys. We love you guys. One of the reasons we love you guys is because Jesus loved children. Do you know there was a time in the Bible when the disciples were trying to keep the kids away from Jesus, and Jesus said, "Don't forbid the kids to come to me." He wanted the kids there around him, and we, all of us here at Grove, we are thankful for you kids, and we are glad to have you here, and we love you. And I want to tell you a story about the greatest love, if you could put it up there on the screen, the greatest love that there ever was, and that's the love of God. And did you know that the reason that Jesus left heaven and he came to earth as a man, the reason he did that is because he loves us. And Christmas really is that celebration of Jesus leaving heaven and coming to earth. Something that's really important to know, though, we say that Jesus was born, right? But did you guys know that Jesus had always been alive? He always existed. Before he came to earth, where was he? In heaven, yeah, that's right. And up in heaven, he was there with the Father and the Holy Spirit, and they were there, this perfect love between them as God. And he was there for all of eternity. He always lived. But there in heaven, he didn't have a body. Like, you couldn't touch him. Like, he didn't have flesh and blood like we have. But he was spirit. But then one day, at the perfect time, when God decided the time was just right, Jesus left heaven, and he came and was born as a baby. He left that place where he'd always been with the Father and the Spirit, and he came here to be born. And for the first time ever, he had a body when he was born. And so now, God the Son, Jesus, for the first time ever, would have a human body. And that's pretty incredible that he did that. And we need to understand that Jesus, he didn't leave heaven because he was unhappy there, right? Why do you think he left heaven? Yeah. Okay, you said God told him to. Why else? Sadie. That's right. We needed a Savior. Yep. And both of those answers were right. You know, actually, he didn't leave heaven because he was unhappy. Actually, he was perfectly happy up there in heaven. He'd always been there. He had this perfect love between the Father, the Spirit, and the Son. He was Lord of all. He didn't need to leave there. He didn't need to come to earth where he would have a body that got tired or got sick or had pain. He didn't need to do that. He didn't need to come to a place where people really didn't treat him that well. You know, there were a lot of people that didn't treat him like he deserved to be treated as God. They just treated him like a poor person, or even sometimes they treated him like he was crazy. He didn't need to come, but he came because we really needed him to come, didn't we? And that was right, Sadie, what you said. We really needed a Savior. And, you know, this world, it used to be like heaven. It used to be like heaven. It used to be perfect. But what do you think happened to this world? Why isn't it perfect? Why don't we call this world heaven? Why isn't it like heaven? Do you guys know? Yeah, Abby? That's right. There's this problem that we have that made this earth so it's not like heaven, and that problem is sin. Sin really messed up a lot of things. And do you know the reason why there's hard things, there's difficult things, the reason why there's death in this world and pain? That's all because of sin. And the Bible says that all of us have sinned. This earth would be like heaven if we obeyed God perfectly, but we can't. And we break his laws, we disobey him, we ignore what he says in his word. And that's called sin. And when we sin against a perfect God who loves us so much, when we sin against Him, then we deserve a punishment for that sin. And sin is why we die. You know, if there was sin in heaven, it wouldn't be heaven anymore, right? Sinners can't go to heaven. They'd mess heaven up. Really, the place for sinners is a place the Bible calls hell. And that's a sad thing. But the good news about Christmas is this, that Jesus left heaven and came to earth to save us from sin and death and hell. He does not want us to go through those things, experience that. Jesus made a way for us to be in a perfect place with a perfect God and be perfectly happy forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Right? Forever. Can you imagine how long forever is? I can't even picture how long forever is. But it's a long time. And that's where He wants us to be with Him, happy forever. And that's what He did for us. The Savior came to save, and He did it because He loves us. And when people really love another person, what do? They give. And what did Jesus give because He loved us? Yeah, He gave us, that's very good. He gave us the Holy Spirit. But what did He give about Himself? Abby. He gave His own life as a sacrifice for us. He gave everything He could give because He loves us. And you know what one of my favorite Bible verses is? I'm going to put it up here on the screen and I'll read it to you. Maybe I'll put it up there. Can you see it? There it is. 2 Corinthians 8:9. Just listen as I read it because you guys probably can't crane your necks around to see it. But it says this, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes, He became poor, that you, through His poverty, might become rich." What do you think that means? That might be a little hard to... What do you think that means? Isaac? Yeah. Okay. Isaac said there's no sin in heaven, and Satan in the book of Job came into God's presence. And that's a great question. That's a great question, Isaac. What happened to Satan when he sinned in the first place? He was thrown out of heaven, right? Why was he thrown out of heaven? Yeah, because he disobeyed God. And the punishment for that was to be thrown out of heaven. Because heaven is a place where sin can't exist. Now, I can't explain to you exactly why or how that worked, that Satan approached God and asked Him. But we do know this, that God is a perfect and holy God. And He is surrounded by holiness. But that's a great question. I'd like to talk with you more about that later. But what we do know is this, that Jesus left heaven, and this is the grace of God to us. This is the grace of God to us that though He was rich, we're not talking like about money, right? Right now. We're talking about what Jesus had. He had perfect love, perfect place. He was Lord over all. He had everything as God, yet for our sakes He became poor. What did He do? He came to earth a very poor place, right? He didn't come into a palace or anything like that. He came and He gave up everything. Logan read a verse about that. He gave up all His rights that He had as God. He didn't see that as something He needed to try to say, no, I'm God, I won't do that. No, He humbled Himself and He came for our sakes, so that through His poverty, we could become rich. Because in Jesus, we have everything we need. We have salvation, right? And so Do you see how he gave? For our sakes, he became poor. He gave himself. There's another thing, if you could put it forward one more time there. Here's another Christmas verse. Do you guys know this one? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave, right? He, because he loved, he did what? Gave. What did he give? His only begotten Son. The Father gave the Son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's an awesome Christmas gift because it says the Father, because he loved us, what did he do? He gave. And who did he give? His Son, so that we could have everlasting life and not have to pay the ultimate penalty for our sin, not have to go to hell. And I thought about this. So if God loves us that much, that he gave his own Son, do you think God would ever try to do something bad to us or hurt us? No, he's not that kind of a God. He's a God who loves us. Now, sometimes in life we do go through hard things. Sometimes he takes things away. But when he puts us through hard things or he takes things away, we know because he gave his Son. He didn't spare his own Son. If he gave his Son, then he loves us. And so even when we go through the hard time, even when he decides to take things away, we can know it's always for our good. He's always working out a plan because he loves us in the end. He's wanting us to grow in faith and trust of him. And it's all because he loves us that he gave. And that's why we say, along with, could you put it forward? We say, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. He gave everything. He gave his Son. And do you guys know the song, O Little Town of Bethlehem? Sort of. There's a third verse that goes like this. And we're going to sing the song as we close the service today. And we're about to finish the service. But it goes like this. How silently the wondrous gift is given. What do you think the wondrous gift is that it's talking about? Lily? Jesus, yeah. How silently this wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts the blessing of his heaven. You know, God freely gave this wonderful gift, the indescribable gift, the best gift ever. He gave his Son, and he did it silently. He didn't do it with a lot of fanfare. He didn't make these huge announcements and have a big parade. It just happened in a little town, the town of Bethlehem. It happened at night. A few people knew about it, the shepherds. But it just happened kind of quietly, just silently. And in the silent place, the best gift that was ever given was given. And when we put our trust in Jesus, the one who came here, he lived a perfect life. We couldn't do that, could we? We're sinners. He lived a perfect life. He died on the cross to pay for our sins. And then he rose again. And when we turn from our sin and we put our trust in Jesus, we have the blessings of his heaven. We can be with him in that perfect place forever. Because he is a giving God who loves us. And I wanted to talk about that just for a minute. I wanted to say that Christmas is the story of God's love, and he proves his love by giving his Son. And he's given us everything he could give. And then the Bible says this, if you could flip it one more forward. Freely you have received, freely give. That's what Jesus said. Freely you have received, freely give. And so it's because of Christmas that we give, right? We give and we receive presents, but we do that because we recognize the one who first gave to us. And I've got something for each of you guys here today. A small gift for each of you. I stuck it underneath the cushion here, so I got to get it. And I'm going to give you each one of these. It's just a little gift from our family to you. And you can take a peek at what's in there if you want. But it's a little money gift for each of you guys. Okay? And with this, it's yours. You can, well, you should probably talk to your parents too about what you would spend it on, but you can use it. It's yours to use, okay? You're welcome. So there's something I want to say about that gift for you guys. It's yours, okay? It's a gift. That's what a gift is. It's given freely for you to have. And we give it because we love you. But I do want to just say this. I want you guys to think about something. I want you to think about the gift that was given to you, right, of Jesus. And I want you to think about what Jesus said. Freely you have received, freely give. And I just want you to think about something today. I want you to think about this. I wonder if there is some of that that you might give. Maybe you could get a present for your brother or sister if you have one. Maybe you could give it to a missionary. Be creative, but I would just encourage you, maybe with some of that, maybe you could think of giving, because freely you have been given, freely give. And that's really the true spirit of Christmas, is the spirit of giving, because God gave his son. And I'll say this too, though. If you do decide to give, I'm not telling you you have to. That's your choice. But if you do decide to give, you don't have to tell me, or you don't have to make an announcement about it. Just like Jesus, when he came, it was kind of silently, right? The greatest gift ever was silently. And the Bible says that when we give in secret, God sees that and he smiles. God knows you gave, and it says God will reward you for that. So I just want to encourage you just to think about that. Maybe with some of the money that you get this Christmas or whatever you get throughout the year, think sometimes, man, I've just been given stuff. How can I also give to others? But we just want you guys to enjoy that. And yes, sir. All right. Merry Christmas to you too, my friend. All right. So will you guys just think about that? Think about this. Freely you've received, freely give. Please bow with me as we pray. Father, we do thank you for the indescribable gift. God, I thank you that beyond salvation, you've blessed us in so many ways. And God, we look to you now, and we look with grateful hearts at all you've given us. And God, I pray that if there's someone here who has not received the most wonderful gift, the gift of salvation, that today would be the day of salvation for them. God, I pray that we would depart in here in peace and in safety. God, I pray for all those as they enjoy time with family. God, I pray for those who are going to be missing people or may be extremely lonely at this time of year, God, that you would comfort them in a special way. And God, we just thank you. Our hearts are filled with joy at all that you've given us. And we look forward to the time when you come back the second time to receive us to yourself forever and ever and ever. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. May the Lord bless you. We're dismissed.